Welcome to the Penguin Magic Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Tate. We have a great show for you this week. The main event is the entertainment director for the Chicago Magic Lounge. He regularly performs at the Magic Castle and some of the most high-profile events in the country. Benjamin Barnes is my guest. We talk about the lounge, what bookers look for, and a lot more. Nick LaCapo stops by the show to discuss the feature product of the week from Dan Harlan. Before all of that, we kick things off with one of our quickfire segments where your favorite magicians have a think about the literature they would like to be lost at sea with. Wanda Blocks creator Ian Bailey joins me for Desert Island Magic Books. Ian Bailey, thanks so much for joining me here on the Penguin Magic Podcast for Desert Island Magic Books. Let's suppose you wash up on a desert island with one magic book, and it's made of Tyvek, so it's not going to fall apart in the wind and the rain and the sand. What is your desert island magic book?
Well, thank you for having me. It's a good question. And only a magician would think about the Tyvek material of the book. So, for me, because I like to cheat on everything as much as I can. Mm-hmm. So my top book is actually a set of books.
Okay.
I'm doing it wrong. But it has to be the definitive Sankey collection.
I love this as an answer because Sankey is... some of Sankey's earliest work is just mind-bogglingly good. But you know you're not allowed... You've listened to this podcast before. You're not allowed to choose set of books, no matter how beautiful the box it is.
I was wondering if we could maybe sew them together. So if I take the hardcovers off, and maybe try and work it into one big book, whether that would be allowed. But no, I think the thing is they all do blend into one. So I don't know if mm-hmm. I can set out one, but I can give you areas of what I love about Sankey's material. And I think the readers can go away and find out which book that is, if that would work.
Please do so, because I think that many people listening to this podcast are probably more familiar with the DVD era of Jay Sankey or some of the more recent like individual releases, but the books were really what put him on the map. Why don't you tell our listeners what you love about the books?
So I think what I love most about them is the fact that the great thing, anyone who has studied Sankey even a small amount will know that he just has mastered two or three moves. And he's squeezed that juice out of that lemon as much as he can, mm-hmm. right? And so what's great about it is I know that when I pick up one of those Sankey books, I know the method straight away, right? So there's not much I have to learn. There's not much I have to, to do in terms of that. I'm already familiar with those moves. But what's great about Sankey is that he can take any kind of move and find multiple different applications. So if I'm looking for a new trick, I know that I can go to Sankey. He's got a trick that uses the Adonais color mm-hmm. change, for example.
Yeah.
And there'll be some area that he's made that applicable for me or the place that I'm going to be performing in, and what's interesting about a lot of his stuff is it has kind of like a hardware issues, like kind of theme to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm an electrician. So I do a lot of things with tools and all sorts. And my act is focused around that as well. So, holy moly, mm-hmm. it's a great trick for me,
you know?
And it uses moves that everyone's familiar with. And so I've a lot of his stuff, like Snowstorm, for example, a great trick.
So good.
I've actually adapted that where I have a light bulb rather than a snow globe. And shaking it breaks the glass.
Yeah.
And now you shake it again, and now the dust and the chemicals and the broken glass now forms to shape the card that they selected, right? So what's great is the reason why, in a long roundabout way, mm-hmm. the reason why I love Sankey is I can pick up one of those books, I know the methods he's going to be using, and instantly I can make it, I can adapt it to whatever scenario I'm in.
I think that's such a great way to look at it, because I think that one of the things that I think as you become more advanced in magic and you're doing a Jay Sankey trick, I think that very often people do sort of look down on him because... Mm-hmm. He uses the same moves all the time. The Erdinaise color change, the twirl change, the certain coin. He's a brilliant coin magician. He has incredible chops, but he does use the same methods a lot. But what is so fascinating is that you're right. He has absolutely worked each of those moves to within an nth of its degree of its life because he knows all of the different ways. I mean, even just as I'm thinking about this, I can think of different effects in which he uses the Erdinaise color change and the various qualities of it in different ways to suit the effect that he's going for and the presentation. And it's a real masterclass in being able to take something that you know inside and out and apply it in wildly different ways to create a bunch of different beautiful effects.
Yeah, I think the only time that this fails is when you're trying to fool the wife, right? And she's already seen that move,
You know?
Or you've got a residency where you're maybe seeing the same people over and over again. Mm-hmm. They're gonna notice you wiping the cards in a specific way.
Yeah.
And they're gonna think, right, okay, I know he did that last time. That might happen. But for an everyday magician who's performing to different audiences, you know, the methods are not what people see.
No.
You know, it's the themes, it's the routining. And yeah, so when I pick up a Jay Sankey book, I know that I already know the methods. I can go straight into it, but he's brought in a brand new different theme that I can take and run with and make my own.
Ian, this is a rare chance. This is a rare moment. I'm going to allow all three books. I'm going to allow it in this insane thought experiment.
Yeah.
It's such a wonderful reason and such a wonderful way to look at an artist's work, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us on Desert Island Magic Books.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much to Ian for joining me on the show. Be sure to jump back a few episodes and give his interview a listen. It'll provide you with some great insight about injecting your real life into your show. Now, on to the main event. Benjamin Barnes is one of the most powerful magicians in the Midwest. He's a stellar performer whose lecture was nominated by the Penguin fans for Lecture of the Year. He's a regular performer at some of the hippest parties and creates jaw-dropping magic with attention to detail that elevates his magic from incredible to miracle status. He also happens to be the entertainment director for the Chicago Magic Lounge, a gorgeous venue right in the heart of Chicago that is one of the Penguin Crew's favorite places to perform. Ben sat down with me to discuss the lounge, his magic, and now you get to join our conversation.
Benjamin Barnes, thanks so much for joining me here on the Penguin Magic Podcast. I was so excited when I saw you on the schedule because you have played host to me at the Chicago Magic Lounge, which is one of my favorite places in the world to perform.
Yeah.
And we finally got to have you here in our little theater.
And it's great to be here. You know, it's amazing to see something online for so many years and to actually walk into the space and see what you guys have done with the theater.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Tell our listeners about the Chicago Magic Lounge, because I feel like Nick and I talk about the lounge on the podcast a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had on various performers from the lounge, but you know, you're the entertainment director there.
I am.
So you're responsible for what people see.
Yeah. Certainly with regard to the performances.
Yeah.
Magic Lounge is a big team effort. You know, mm-hmm. the owners, Joey Cranford and Don Clark, they start the Magic Lounge. Mm-hmm. Neither really magicians, but people who love magic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great because the venue is designed with the public in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful experience. They're magicians of all varieties performing at the Magic Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
Not just our core group of local performers, but magicians from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're open 7 nights a week, so you get to experience different kinds of magic. The show format changes almost nightly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. We're the number one nightlife destination in Chicago. So, you know, people in Chicago and presumably elsewhere, they love magic.
Yeah.
They just need a venue so they can experience it.
It's when you go, it's this fun, you know, you walk through what is like a laundromat.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're suddenly in this beautiful bar.
Yeah.
And you've got some of the best bar magicians in the world working behind the bar.
Yeah.
How do you find a great bar magician?
Well, you know, Chicago is famous for bar magic.
Yeah.
So when the lounge appeared, they were there.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, many of them had worked in the iconic Chicago magic bars. So they were there.
Yeah.
You know, we got really, really lucky. Very slowly, we're starting to add new bar magicians to their ranks.
Mm-hmm.
But the greats, people like Bibbick,
yeah,
Al James, these guys have been around since I was a kid. And we're lucky enough to have them at the Chicago Magic Lounge.
So I'm curious about this because I've booked shows in the past, doing like underground shows.
Sure.
You know, when I'm like me and my buddies are going to rent out a bar or a small theater or maybe we have like a weekly show and we just, you know, trying to get people in the door. It's got to be different when you're booking something on the level of the Chicago Magic Lounge. I mean, arguably, it's the Magic Castle of the Midwest.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the place that everyone wants to play.
Sure.
So first of all, how did you find yourself in the position as the entertainment director? And what do you look for? And I'm not. This is not an invitation to like have people just inundate you to work there. But I'm curious as to, like, from your perspective as the booker, like, what are you looking for in someone who's going to be working in your venue?
Sure. Well, to answer both questions, how did I find myself in this position? You know, prior to the Chicago Magic Lounge, I had my own show, me and a couple of partners, for 12 years called Magic Chicago.
Yeah.
And my primary function with that show is, I booked it.
Oh, really?
It was a lot smaller than the Magic Lounge. We would normally have one guest performer, but my job was to bring in the best magicians I could from all over. And during the first few years of that show running, I was just starting to work at the Magic Castle, starting to make connections with people in California. So most of those acts came from the West Coast. Tina Leonard, John Carney, Rob Zabrecki, people like that. And after 12 years of that, Magic Lounge appears. And like I said, Joey wasn't really connected with the world of magic outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
And I was. So they thought, you know, I would be a good addition to the team. Yep. And friends like Max Maven and Jack Oldfingers agreed with him, and that's how I found myself in that position.
I mean, for those of you who don't know, Max Maven booked the Magic Castle for a long time, and Jack Goldfinger succeeded him as the current booker. So having those two people who book the premier venue in the world, you know, agree that you were the guy, that's a big feather in your cap.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm grateful to those guys. I wouldn't be here without them. And then what am I looking for? You know, primarily, it's not what people think. You know, some people think you have to do all original material, or it has to be, you know, what we're looking for are people who, first and foremost, can entertain a lay audience with magic. That's like, you know, that person and the most original magician, they're not always the same person.
Yeah.
So can you entertain a group of people who have never seen magic, don't necessarily know what magic is about? That's number one. And then number two is, are you pleasant to work with?
I think that gets overlooked so often, where people are like, oh, my, you know, but I'm this and I'm that. And it's just like, yeah, but are you fun to hang out with? Because we're going to beat it. Because you're in it's an intense environment performing like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're in close quarters in between shows. And, you know, there's a lot of time together with these people. And yeah, just, are you pleasant? Are you nice? Because we, not very often, but, you know, every once in a while we had a magician of great renown who didn't seem to be having a good time and wanted to spread that around, you know, misery loving company.
Yeah.
And it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
I'd rather have someone who is a very good magician, who is a very good person with a good disposition. I'd much rather bring that into our environment.
That entertaining the lay audience is something that I think is really integral to the Chicago Magic Lounge, because it's, there are very few magicians that are in attendance in the audience.
Right.
And I know when I've worked there, you know, I can always identify them, because first of all, they come on the Thursday night show. They're not there Friday or Saturday. But it's, that audience is hungry for magic and they see so much of it.
Oh yeah.
I think the table magic, I think, is really interesting in Chicago, because if you've never been there, there's this great big showroom, the Blackstone Theater, which is gorgeous. It's a $95 million theater. I mean, no, it's very nice.
Yes, nice. Very nice.
But when the audience sits down, you have magicians go to the table, and they see so much magic at that table. How do you find the people to do that? That's so crazy.
Well, you know, it is crazy. It's becoming increasingly difficult. You know, when the lounge first started, there was this group of people who were a part of that already. And the Magic Lounge, part of our mission, and part of my mission certainly with being the entertainment director, is I want to see these people grow into greatness. I want these people to become great magicians. The downside of that is that when they do progress and grow, they go other places, you know, and they work other places, and then we have this void where they were. And so now we have developed a program to cultivate local talent.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, and it's very time consuming, mm-hmm. but it's worth it, and it's also just necessary. It's the businessness demands that. So that's where we find them. We groom them, mm-hmm. and if they are able to grow in that mm-hmm. way, we bring them onto the team.
How do you find time for yourself to perform? Because being a booker for a place like that that's going 7 nights a week has got to be tough. How often, where do you find time for yourself to perform? Because you're a great performer. Well, you rocked the house last night.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That is a feather in my hat right there. Oh,
you know you're good.
I've had a lot of help along the way.
Sorry to interrupt, but this week the show is brought to you by Deja Voodoo by Dan Harlan. Nick LaCapo joined me via Zoom to discuss this spookily accurate packet trick.
Nick, it's never too early in the year to work on a spooky trick, and that is why we are talking about Deja Voodoo by Dan Harlan.
Yeah, you got to buy this one now so you can be ready for when Halloween comes around. And weirdly, like, these are the types of tricks that do kind of sell out around the Halloween season. So yeah, maybe get it now. Well, why should you? It's a cool look. I think this is a spooky trick that anybody can do, and it comes with some special cards. And what the cards have on them are these, like, kind of, I would say, cute voodoo dolls.
Yeah, they're like, it's the most charming voodoo doll that you'll ever see printed on a playing card that you're gonna cause horrible things to happen to.
Yeah. So it's what is it, six or is it five?
It's five cards.
And five cards.
Each of
each one has a voodoo doll on it that has been inflicted with some sort of injury. Let's just say, and they're it's all unique to each card. So one might be missing a leg, one might be stabbed in the head, one might be have its hand lit on fire. And the audience chooses a voodoo card. You also lay on the table a card that says the cure on it, and it's face down. It's kind of like a prediction card. So anyway, you have the spectator choose a card via they're going to name a number, essentially, and you'll be able to, they're going to end up choosing a card, and you turn the cure over, and the cure shows an image of the voodoo doll with a bandage that is in the exact same spot as whatever injury card was selected.
Yeah, this is a really fascinating effect. So this was originally printed by Didier Dupree in The Minotaur, and Dan and Didier worked together to create this effect and take it to what it is. Dan definitely advanced the artwork and the presentation. And when you look at this, you're going to be thinking, oh, it's one of those things like, you know, it says not here, or not there, or, you know, like check, you know, look under the pencil and the predictions on the pencil as well. It is a multiple out. We should be clear on that. But the multiple out here is really, really clever because it's always the cure that is the prediction. But the method here is something that you're not going to be able to do without this fun artwork and fun presentation, because it just kind of works all the way through. And this is one of those secrets that when you learn it, you go, oh man, that's super clever. And you want to start thinking about other ways to use this type of multiple out principle.
Yeah. If you're a fan of like the hot rod, which I mean, I am, it's not that, you know, like there's another, I mean, you should expect that, right? It's Dan Harlan, right? So like there's another layer of thinking here that is very, very fascinating. While you're getting this for a fun trick to do in the Halloween season, this instantly resets, and you could go, this would be a great like Halloween restaurant table trick.
Oh yeah.
There is the force on this, and like not really a force because there's multiple outs and things, but the process of this thing working is fascinating, because when you watch the performance, you'd be like, well, wait a minute, how does that work? You know? So there's a lot of cool things to learn on Deja Voodoo for sure.
Yeah, you're going to love this. Deja Voodoo by Dan Harlan and Didier Dupree. Check it out.
That was Deja Voodoo by Dan Harlan, available at penguinmagic.com. As always, the incredible listeners to our show receive 25% off the featured product of the week when they enter a special discount code at checkout. This week, that code is PINS. That's Pins, P-I-N-S, for 25% off Deja Voodoo when you enter that code at checkout. That code is only good for Deja Voodoo and only good until the next episode of this show airs. Now, back to my conversation with Benjamin Barnes.
Being a booker for a place like that that's going 7 nights a week has got to be tough. How often, I mean, where do you find time for yourself to perform? Because you're a great performer. Well, you rocked the house last night.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That is a feather in my hat right there. Oh,
you know you're good.
You know what? I've had a lot of help along the way. How do I find the time to perform? Mm-hmm. You know, my life is pretty simple. Mm-hmm. I perform and then I work at the Magic Lounge. So, you know, I'll spend my 12 hours, 14 hours at the Magic Lounge.
Yeah.
In there, I'll perform at some point during the day. And then I'll just come back to the Magic Lounge. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm lucky, I get to perform at the P3 Magic Theater or the Magic Castle or doing any number of things. Mm-hmm. And I have a small team of people in the entertainment department who help me. I have an assistant who works with me during the day.
Okay.
Her name is Teague. Thank you, Teague.
Oh, Teague. Teague has saved me so many times.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And then at night, I work with Paige Thompson, who's a fabulous magician in her own right. And she helps me out at night. Every night that I've been here, me and Paige text just to make sure that things are going well. And they are. So I'm there a lot. But when I can't be, there's people who are watching the ship.
So I want to talk to you a little bit more about the way you perform magic. Because there was... You said some stuff in your lecture where you really believe that you're performing the magic for people, and it's interesting because your approach to magic is both powerful and gentle.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the purest sense. How did you come to the way that you perform now?
You know, that's what I say about magic. You know, when you do magic long enough, you learn the biggest secrets, and the biggest secret is, who are you?
Yeah.
You know, these tricks help you figure out who you are. Mm-hmm. And for me, magic has never really been about drawing attention to myself or glory for myself. It's always been about giving people this experience. Mm-hmm. So the magic is powerful because magic itself is powerful.
Yeah.
And in terms of being gentle, I love people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love what magic gives to people. Mm-hmm. You know, magic, there's a magician once, he's still alive, his name is Bob Neal, who once said, magic is a gift, it's not an acquisition. Mm-hmm. So I'm always thinking, what can I give to magic? What can I give to people through magic?
Yeah.
And, that really informs how I approach everything.
It's really exciting to watch you perform because there's some small details in your work that make it just so convincing, and the wonder on people's faces. Because we were talking about the ambitious card you taught in your lecture, and it's just like it's one of the better ambitious cards I've seen because of how it's detail oriented, but it's still audience focused.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the details are designed or selected to give the audience a greater and richer experience of the effect. Mm-hmm. So yeah, everything, you know, I always say we have to think like our audiences, our spectators. Yeah. I really try to think like them or see things through their eyes when I put together anything.
How do you help yourself see through a layperson's eyes? Because I know that for myself, when I watch a trick, it's really hard for me because my magician brain turns on and I just start thinking, oh, that's a nice double lift or like that's a cool move or that's an interesting, you know, turn of phrase. But you seem to really be able to look through the audience's eyes.
Yeah.
How do you help yourself to that?
You know what? I think a big part of it is just being able to recognize the flaws in a trick, like what are the problem areas.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we accept these, what I call problem areas, is just part of the trick. It's what makes the trick work. But it's, and also I think about magic in terms of what it's supposed to be and not what it is. So I involve a lot of my own imagination in this. So I'm always asking if everything I am doing was actually happening.
Yeah.
What would it really be like? And sometimes you can't meet that ideal in reality, mm-hmm. but you can get people to, you can employ imagination. You mm-hmm. can use language to yeah. create the illusion that certain things are happening. And I try to do that.
It's really apparent in your work that you're able to get there. And it sort of just gets back to what you were talking about with when you're, what are you looking for at the lounge in a magician is someone who can entertain
yeah.
a lay audience, because it's entertaining a lay audience is so much different than fooling a magician.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different skill set. And
yeah.
They're both fine.
Oh, absolutely.
But getting that lay audience to really have fun is just such an important part of working in some of these places.
Yeah, especially when you are serving primarily the lay public.
Yeah.
You know, if you're at a magic club, which is essentially what the Magic Castle is, it's a clubhouse for the Academy of Magical Arts.
Yeah.
That's different. You have to work for the public because a lot of people there are lay people.
Yeah.
But
it's how they pay the bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you still have to really impress the magicians, entertain yeah. the magicians, because there's a lot of them too. So yeah. it's, you know, with our venue in Chicago, it's like you said, 99% lay yeah. people. So it's different.
It is different.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a place that every magician should go to, like, just to watch lay people experiencing really, really yep. strong magic.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's, and that's one of the things I can see already giving the magicians in Chicago a real edge
yeah.
is they really understand how to entertain people who don't have the same passion for magic mm-hmm. that we do
yeah.
because they're so new to magic. A lot of the people come to our venue, it's their first magic show.
Yeah.
And so they don't know what's up yet.
Yeah.
We educate them, and we've gotten really good at entertaining those people.
You know, and it's especially too, because I think especially the core group that is there, the people behind the bar, the yeah. people who work in the tables, who often feature in the shows, but are not always there, but they're getting so many repetitions
yep.
on tricks that they're able to really hone in. I mean, how many times has Paige and Luis hit a table a night? Like 6-7 times per show? I mean, it's an insane amount of magic that they're doing.
And they work 6 nights a week.
Yeah. Imagine being able to do the same trick for people 40, 50 times a week.
Right.
You couldn't help but get good at it.
You can't help it.
Yeah.
You can't help it.
Yeah.
And now we have people who are not just getting good, but they're getting really good.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of time before they go to yeah. another level.
It's, you know, Chicago is really going to be putting the hammer down in the magic world yeah. very soon. I think
really
that it's, man, I wish you the best of luck in keeping them secret, because I know everyone's going
to
want them.
No, I don't. No, I want them to want them. Because, you know, I have this philosophy, you
yeah.
know, you go away,
yeah.
you do whatever it is you do as a performer,
yeah.
you come back and you teach the people who are there, and
yeah.
just helps things grow.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for all you've done for Chicago Magic and for bringing us from the P3 out there, because
yeah.
we love hanging out in Chicago.
Yeah, well, you have to come back.
I promise I will. Benjamin Barnes, thanks so much for joining me here on the Penguin Magic Podcast.
It's an honor.
That's going to do it for this week, kids. Thanks so much to Ben for being on the show, and thanks to you for listening. Wanted to give you all a heads up on a few things. If you weren't following us on Instagram, you really should. Just go to @PenguinMagicShop and click the follow button. Every Monday on 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I go live on Instagram with the Card Jam. We work our way through a classic text of card magic. I teach moves, tricks, theory, and generally, we just have a grand time jamming on card magic. On Wednesdays, Nick LaCapo goes live on Instagram to talk about the latest tricks and give you some in-depth looks on the hottest magic. And listen to this space to find out where we are performing next. The P3 Magic Theater is about to reopen. I'm going to be at the Chicago Magic Lounge in a couple weeks, and I'm going to be performing at Keller's Comedy and Magic Club in Erie, Pennsylvania, where I'll be performing with the hilarious Danny Corby April Fool's Weekend. As always, we're a weekly podcast, so be sure to like and subscribe, as well as share your favorite episodes on the social media platform where you're looking for crazy chicken recipes on. If you wanted to reach out to me about anything on this week's show, you'll need to hide your questions inside a recipe for chicken Kiev. I got a new hobby, and it's stuffing crazy ingredients inside of chicken cutlets. I have no idea where this came from. It's getting pretty wild over here. But if experimental kitchen shenanigans aren't up your alley, you can always hit me up on Instagram @EricTait. That's @ERIKTAIT. From me and everyone else at the P3 Magic Studios, practice, practice, perform.